Welcome back to Beta. I'm Doug Gordon. 10 years ago, Vince Gilligan and his creative team introduced Breaking Bad into the television universe and into our homes. The AMC hit series about a chemistry teacher turned drug kingpin quickly found a large and devoted audience.
Do you know how much I make a year? I mean, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Do you know what would happen if I suddenly decided to stop going into work? A business big enough that it could be listed on the NASDAQ goes belly up. Disappears. It ceases to exist without me. No, you clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No, I am the one who knocks.
Gilligan provided a storyline that was as addictive as its subject matter. But there's a lot more to the show than a compelling narrative. Breaking Bad broke new ground with visionary storytelling, from luscious long shots of the borderland landscapes to the fisheye point of view camera. Breaking Bad's aesthetic captured the contemporary Southwest in a beautiful and provocative way. And let's not forget the show's cold opens. They offered an opportunity to introduce new narrative devices, including a fake TV commercial, disorienting black and white flash forwards, and even a fully produced music video for a faithful recreation of a narco corrido. Cordelia Barrera is an assistant professor at Texas Tech University. She specializes in Latina and Latino literature. In her essay, Negro y Azul, the Narco Corrido Goes Gothic, Barrera argues that this particular cold open encapsulated the show's unique spin on the classic American Gothic.
The opening scene is a music video, just over 3 minutes long, sung by Los Cuates de Sinaloa.
La ciudad se llama Nuevo México, el estado.
A band originally from Sinaloa, Mexico, now based in Phoenix, Arizona.
Entre la gente mafiosa, su fama se ha propagado, causa de una nueva droga que los gringos han creado.
The video, titled Negro y Azul, which means black and blue, is about a, quote, gringo boss named Heisenberg, who is disrespecting the Mexican drug cartel by cornering the Albuquerque market with high-quality blue crystal meth.
What did you think of this scene the first time you saw it?
The first time I saw the video, I laughed. I laughed out loud. I thought, this is perfect. I had been wanting to write something about what I believed were the gothic elements of the show, but I hadn't been able to conceptualize what I wanted to say. So when I saw the video and subsequently watched it again and again and looked closely at the lyrics, I knew I had the framing device that I needed. As a grad student in Latina literature, I'd studied corridos, so I immediately knew what Negro y Azul was. I also knew that positioning Heisenberg, Walter White's alter ego, in the series as a protagonist in the corrido was extraordinary. He's a white male, and the subjects of corridos and even narco corridos are never white males.
Mm. And as you mentioned, the song is performed by a real corrido band. What does corrido mean?
Yeah, so corridos are traditional folk songs or ballads, indigenous, localized products that memorialize culture heroes. They're oral poems that present an event from its own time. Traditional corridos celebrate and eulogize the heroic values of the proletariat, people whose principal offense was a response to an oppressive social system. The word comes from the verb correr, which means to run. And the term itself reflects an ongoing or running account of a story recited in plain verse. There's a really important Mexican-American scholar named Américo Paredes who wrote a book called With His Pistol in His Hand. And this was first published in 1958. And basically what he wrote about was the story of Gregorio Cortés. And there's been a movie made about this as well. He was a famous border hero who was falsely accused of murder by the Texas Rangers in 1901. Now, he was forced to flee his South Texas home and fight for his rights, quote, with a pistol in his hand.
En el condado del Carmen,
Miren lo que ha sucedido. Murió el sheriff mayor, quedando Román herido.
Now, this is very different from the narco corrido, right?
Yes.
Most scholars agree that the narco corrido, which translates as drug ballad, evolved out of the corrido form. But its lyrics are different. Its lyrics are often violent, sometimes overtly so, and its situations are not localized, but detail a globalized world of commerce and a global marketplace in which the tenor of conflict shifts from the peaceful, everyday subject forced to take up arms to defend family, social, or cultural values to the narco trafficker. So the heroes of narco corridos, and we can put this term in quotes, are more like anti-heroes. They're these morally ambiguous figures who lack conventional heroic qualities, such as morality or ethical codes based in idealism. Mm. A lot of times these narcos are outrageously self-serving.
You've talked a bit about this already, but can you talk a bit more about what the lyrics of the song say?
Yeah, so the song Negro y Azul positions not Walt, but his alter ego, Heisenberg, as the protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've talked about this. Protagonists of narco corridos are generally unscrupulous Mexican or Latino narco traffickers, these anti-heroes, drug lords, high-ranking members of drug cartels, who glory in orchestrating violent and often grisly stratagems of generally masculine power and authority. And the narco corrido Negro y Azul follows the traditional corrido structure in that we're given a prologue to the story itself, and then a moral and a farewell, the despedida, right?
Mm-hmm.
With regards to Walt's alter ego, Heisenberg, the song positions him as a dead man walking. The lyrics read, in translation, "The cartel's running hot because they were disrespected. They talk about some Heisenberg who now controls the market. No one knows a thing about him since they have never seen him. The cartel's about respect, and they have never forgiven. This homie's already dead. He just hasn't been told so."
Nadie sabe nada de él, porque nunca lo han mirado. A la furia del cartel, nadie jamás ha escapado. Ese compa ya está muerto. No más no le han avisado.
Now, I think the introduction of this song in season two is really significant because it foreshadows Heisenberg's and thus Walt's eventual demise, his death. What's more significant is that Walt slash Heisenberg is a white man, and again, he's the subject of this narco corrido. And this just doesn't happen. So if we encapsulate the setting, the landscape of this song within the broader context of a series that I believe outlines and details the disintegration of white male authority in the American West, we see how this song becomes an ironic farewell that foreshadows the continuing disintegration of the white male patriarch and speaks to the fragility of white masculine authority on the 21st century borderlands.
So there is this turf war that is reflected in this narco corrido, this conflict between two different cultures. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. At the simplest level, what you have in Breaking Bad is a turf war.
Mm-hmm.
So as Walt slash Heisenberg and his accomplices jockey for absolute control of the available resources and capital to be had in the regional meth trade, they play out a story aligned with much of Western history. Theirs is a contest for dominance charged with the drawing of lines and border disputes that really, in the end, fuse the roles of victim and villain.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I argue that this series overall has the feel of a frontier gothic. In the series, you've got this convergence of cultures and people in a hostile, contested borderlands landscape. And then you've got these gothic elements, these psychological hauntings, double, secrets and lies, imprisonment, crawl spaces.
Yeah.
And most importantly, a suburban sterility that plays upon our suspicions that even the most ordinary house or family has something to hide.
Mm.
And so what we see here is that we've got the transformation of this Western landscape into this kind of tragic, maybe even a fallen space in the wake of white settlement and globalizing forces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that phrase, suburban sterility. In your essay, you say that in early American Gothic writing, indigenous cultures are doomed to extinction when white settlers arrive. But that isn't really quite what's happening in Breaking Bad, is it?
So if we look at American Gothic, which is really different from European forms, we can see how these narratives are deeply engaged with historical concerns, notably horrors such as Native American massacres and the legacy of American slavery that continue to haunt the stories we tell about ourselves, the stories that make national identity possible. In the American West, a term like frontier Gothic relates to how repressed or even silenced regional horrors speak to the dispossession or removal of Native Americans to expose the artificial or imaginary foundations on which American identities are precariously balanced. And what I mean by artificial or imaginary foundations is that, you know, these are the stories that we tell about ourselves, stories of manifest destiny and American exceptionalism. So when we look at Walt slash Heisenberg's story through the lens of this song, Negro y Azul, we see that it's the white male who's doomed to perish. Walt has no future in this new landscape. The New Mexico desert and suburban Albuquerque that factors so heavily in Walt's transformation signify a uniquely American landscape. And the range and power of the frontier is found in the promise that Americans can get away from everything that they have and are, that they have been and are. This promise is an escape from the confinements of a civilization associated with old world European values, but it's ultimately an escape from self. So in the pilot episode, when we see Walt's brother-in-law, DEA agent Hank Schrader, and he shows Walt this drug bust in New Mexico, in New Mexico desert that yields over $700,000, a seed's planted in Walt.
Mm-hmm.
And we see his transformation begin to take shape pretty quickly.
Hey, Walt, come here, everybody, listen up, listen up, listen up. I'm going to give a little toast to my brother-in-law. Come here. Walt, you got a brain the size of Wisconsin, but we're not going to hold that against you. But your heart's in the right place, man. Your heart's in the right place. We love you, man. We love you. Everybody, to Walt, Nostrovia.
Nostrovia.
Turn on channel 3.
At which point, we apprehended three individuals and placed them into custody. Clearly an ongoing operation, one which was well-organized.
Hank, how much money is that?
It's about $700,000. It's a pretty good haul.
As I say, it's a good day for the citizens of Albuquerque when we can put this big a dent in the local drug trade.
But that's unusual, isn't it? That kind of cash?
Well, it's not the most we ever took. It's easy money till we catch you. Walt, just say the word, and I'll take you on a ride-along. You can watch us knock down a meth lab. Get a little excitement in your life.
Yeah, someday.
Breaking Bad really is redefining the idea of the American dream, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So I think what happens to the American dream of progress in Breaking Bad is that it shifts to the underworld. The show is preoccupied with the nature of change, chemical changes certainly, but more significantly, a changing American landscape that foregrounds suburban sterility and a global market economy that has left many formerly secure middle-class Americans anguished and often desperate. Walt regains his masculine authority, something we feel he's lost when we first meet him. What we have to remember is that Walt's manhood and masculine white authority are not regained in the domestic, urban, or even the suburban sphere. He regains his authority within the globalized world of commerce and the new marketplace of the war on drugs. But his rise to power is as short-lived and excessively violent as all narcos.
Yeah, as you say, self-actualization. He reaches the top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and then he is a man of action. He doesn't just daydream and think about, oh, I should do this. You know, in the pilot, he's such a sad sack. His life is at the lowest point. He's, disrespected by his high school chemistry class students, and he's working in the car wash part-time and treated poorly by his boss before he quits. Yeah, he's someone who does something, I think, that a lot of us aren't willing to do and actually take action.
Right, right. He feeds his shadow, strengthening it with all the horrors that the 21st century borderlands can deliver. And I think that this makes him a frightening but also a very attractive figure.
Cordelia Barrera is the author of the essay Negro y Azul, The Narco Corrido Goes Gothic. Her essay is featured in the book Breaking Down, Breaking Bad.